I actually didn't get to say a thing, which wasn't the plan. I was going to say something. So I meant to tell you just that, you know, this has been a long time in coming, and that I'm just so, so proud of Suzanne. And I've told her over and over again, she has a voice that must be heard. So.
Thank you, you guys. I love roses. Thank you. Is the PowerPoint ready? Are we? Oh, just click it? Okay. They do it for me. Okay. This is the red pointer in the middle. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Let's give you guys a little minute to look at that, to acknowledge. We've already acknowledged that it is Valentine's Day on Thursday, but found this one year when the boys were little. I was trying to do something creative for Valentine's Day and found this. And so it's John 3:16 all lined up, and God showing us his Valentine to us, the ultimate Valentine. So just wanted to start off with that. I don't know. I love words. So throughout this encouragement, not a sermon, not preaching, just encouragement, okay? I like where words come from. There's such a richness in just knowing some of these words. And the word Valentine in here is a word that comes from another Latin word that means strength or worthy. And I just think it is so cool how, well, somebody lined this up. I don't know who did, but somebody did. And they lined it up for us and just showed us that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And inherent within that is strength, is a word for strength, is a word for boldness, is a word for valiant, is a word for worthy. I just think it's so cool that God would put that in there for us and then wrap it all up in this love relationship between us and him. You know? I mean, he gives us his son. Yay, Jesus. You know, just go, yeah, yay, Jesus. And then as we believe in him, he wants us so much to believe. There's something about that word. We're going to have to study that another time. But to believe in him that we shall not perish. Okay, so we won't die. But we'll have eternal life. And the word I want to look at here is life. Life, 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 life. There are three Greek words for life. And it just so happens that this word in the Greek means is zoe, which means the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate, life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God and blessed. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, that is in that package right there, you guys. We get that kind of life, that kind of life that bubbles up within us. I don't know if you guys felt it during worship, but it was rising up in me, just the enormity of God. I'm going to say that again some later on, but just how awesome he is and how just big. He's just big, and he hides things for us to find. And so this encouraging word that I have today was, for in a sense, a journey for me to into the heart of God, into the things that make me laugh and cry in God. So I just wanted to share a little bit about that. So God loves us. So we start from there. And the point is that we live. It is so cool. We live a vigorous, vital life. And that is exciting. And that can rise up in us. You hang out here long enough, you're going to hear stories about people, or testimonies, not stories, testimonies of people who step out in what God has called them to do. They have these amazing experiences with the Lord. Someday, I hope not to live vicariously, and I will have those same experiences, okay? So, but they are just... But so you hang out with these people. It's like when you're, you know, you're really good at something, or you get excited about something, and you're in a room or a group of people who have those same experiences and those ideas, or you're just learning about them, and you're going, wow, that's cool. And it gets you. It gets you thinking. It gets your heart pumping in that same vein, and you're starting to think things, feel things, experience things that you didn't know was inside you, but everybody else around you is bringing it up inside you. You know, I get so excited from that, just the anticipation of what that's going to look like as we move forward together, you know. So I was a few weeks ago, I watched a DVD that really just floated my boat, so to say the least. It was it got me marveling at the awesomeness and the enormity of God, and I was so moved by what I had seen that I was so giddy with excitement. I came home going, oh my gosh, Brent, oh my gosh, and my voice went up a couple of octaves. I was talking. I was just so excited about what I had just seen. Somebody else had explored the heavens, basically. Okay, which one? The middle? Oh, no, not that one. We're going to skip that one for now, Helen. But, yes, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The DVD that I watched was called The Star of Bethlehem, and it was made by a lawyer. It was a study done by a lawyer named Rick Larson, and his website is www.bethlehemstar.net. If any of you have seen it, or if you haven't seen it, it's a great video. And what it is that he explored, he needed to know deep down inside the validity of the Star of Bethlehem. So he goes and he explores this, and what he finds out is fantastic. It is amazing. He takes you on a journey into the stars that God says, yes, study them because I'm going to put signs in them. God is like communicating with us all the time. So he takes us on this journey, and using math, science, astronomy, all these things that, you know, big thinkers thought. Okay, he came up with validating the Star of Bethlehem based on 9 points that he had found in the Bible. And I was like, this is so cool. You look up at the stars, you look at what God has put in one person. There was a mathematician named Kepler who figured out the three planetary laws of planets or something like that, and figured out how the planets move so that you could figure out the stars and where they were when Jesus was born. And so you look, and as all these, the nine rules, if you will, the nine criteria came into place, he found the Star of Bethlehem. He validated it. And this got him so excited, like, oh my gosh, God, what did you do? Because he wrote this in the heavens. He wrote it in there for us to find now. The guy who developed that law, Kepler, lived in the 16th century. He didn't have the technology that we do now. And yet God is releasing in us, in this generation, in all of you, in some of you guys are thinking these big thoughts that, you know, way over here, way over my head, way up here somewhere. And you guys, I mean, they're doing this. And so the knowledge is here now for us to find that same God, to be so awed by him that we're just going, oh my gosh, well, what if I think this? What if I think through this? What am I going to see about God in this, you know? So he takes us to through this journey. We see God. We find out in the stars where he is. And he even has a fascinating story about what the heavens looked like on the day that Jesus died. So I was floored. And when he said, you know, he had the hair on the back of his neck sticking up, and you know, and all that, it gave him goosebumps basically, because it was just like, oh my gosh, what have I just seen? That this God who loves me so much is trying to communicate with me. You know, he's trying to touch us in such a way. He's trying to free our minds up to know what's already in our hearts, what our hearts are already beating with. So I explored this a little bit. And in the stars, we see... see, this is a randomness I was hoping not to have. Okay, so he planned us. I chose you when I planned creation. Ephesians 1, 11, and 12. And so just thinking about that, the enormity of God, I was looking at that, and I was thinking, okay, God, what does that mean? What does this mean, this huge thing that you've just showed me, this revelation of what you've done in the stars, what kind of story you've already put in the stars? What does that mean for me? So I started thinking about it, and it was like, well, me. He talked about creating and then creating me. And then it's like, wait, he thought of me at the beginning of the world even. So I was like, wow, this is getting like really, really small. This is getting down to me size. And so... So it says, we are fearfully and wonderfully. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now think, this next screen is just my what if. On the right is a helix nebula. You can't see that with the naked eye. At least I don't remember seeing that you could. You've got to have this Mondo telescope that's like way out in outer space, and it sees this. So I don't know if you can see that it is in the same shape as the thing on the left, which is a double helix DNA strand, which is the building blocks of you and me. Okay. So, oh wait, keep it back on that one. I don't know what I'm doing. Just keep it back on that one, please. Thank you. Okay, so we've talked about this God that loves us so much, this God that is huge, that is communicating with us in the stars. So what if he created this helix nebula? Okay, he didn't call it any helix nebula, but he created it, and he saw the power within it, right? And he saw that, he's like, whoa, this thing's powerful. It emits light, it emits energy, it's got this stuff in it. He goes, hey, wait a minute, why don't I just compress this? Compress it, and just compress it, press it, compress it, compress it, compress it, compress it, down to the subatomic level, our subatomic level, and I make this the building blocks of these people that I love so much. Okay? Think about it. You have within you, I don't know how many DNA strands. I don't know how much what we're made of in that regard. But we have that power within us. What if we have that power within us? How much more that energy, that light, which, by the way, we find out that we're made of light. Yep. John Paul Jackson talks about these little things called quarks that hold together the protons and the neutrons that make up a DNA molecule. And these little quarks are basically pure light. Oh my gosh, you guys. We're light? We're light? We're light. That gives a new spin to the song, This Little Light of Mine, doesn't it? Oh my gosh. This little light? I don't think so. Now we're even finding out those stories about, like up at Reading, Bill Johnson talks about, you know, that sphere around you, that Holy Spirit sphere around you, that when people enter it, they're healed, they're delivered, they're saved, they're, you know, stuff falls off of them. They're like, I feel so much better. It's like Lonnie. Lonnie tells that story about it being in his workplace. And the lady comes in and she walks out the door because she doesn't have her migraine headache anymore. Because Lonnie's been there in the presence of the Lord, enjoying him, letting his light come through. I'm like, yes! Yes! We're going to see more of that. As we can declare that. Let's make that declaration that this little light of mine, that little light of yours, is going to get so big that it is going to influence wherever you are. Wherever you are. Whatever situation you're in. It's going to take up the spiritual level a couple of notches and then some. I'm telling you, this was amazing just to see how God, did this. Then to top it off, okay? Scientists have assigned notes, musical notes, to the proteins that make up your DNA. Everybody's got different DNA, and our DNA is different from animals and that kind of thing. But everybody in here has a different protein sequence. So these scientists, in order to be able to understand it better, put musical notes to these proteins in your DNA. So, basically, you guys are a song. We have got, couple hundred songs sitting in here that the Lord can play anytime. He's got his multi-CD, Buku, MP3, iPod changer thingy. And he just says, I'm going to listen to this tune tonight, I'm like, Lord, what is this? It says, I went onto a website. I really did. I went onto a website, Your DNA Song. And this is what Stuart Mitchell is the composer. And he says, DNA music exists within every living organism universally, and now we have the technology to unlock a symphony from within everyone for a better and more aesthetic understanding of life, ourselves, and each other. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You can submit your DNA. I don't know how you get your DNA profile, how they do that, but you can submit your DNA, and this guy will take it, and he will put it to the type of music that you like. Jazz, R&B, instrumental, symphony, and you can hear your song in that. You can hear you in that form of music. So, you guys, we are made of something big. We are incredible. And God thinks we are, too. Because he's the one who let us find it now. They didn't find this, a few years ago. We're finding it now, and we're finding it for a reason. We're moving towards just this enormity of God, and who he is and how much he wants us to believe him, to believe how big he is. Just a few other tidbits was that, I don't know if you guys remember, but in Narnia, in the Chronicles of Narnia, Narnia was created when Aslan sang. So that was in The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis. And so you just start putting things together. There was a lyric, one of the lines in one of the songs tonight was about, and your creation will, everyone in creation has a song to sing. And that's true. It is. That's just it. So what do we do with all this? All this has, you know, risen up within me to do something great, you know, to do something like I've never done before, like this. So it's like, what do you do? What do you do? So what is our response? What is I believe that one of the areas that really touches my heart or really gets me going is one of our core values that I believe we'll be stepping into. And as we respond from a place of love, a place of being loved, a place of knowing who we are and stepping into that, I know that we are also, as a corporate body, stepping into one of the prophetic words that was given to us a few years ago by Chris Vallotton. And one of the words was, the words were that Blazing Fire would be a MASH unit. And we see that now with just where how the Lord is bringing healing in so many lives. We hear testimonies of how God has touched you and healed you and brought you to a place of freedom. So we're starting to walk in that. We want to see more. That we're a cafeteria where we get a flavor of a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of the Lord, you know. And we see that with just in kingdom training. We're teaching that, how, you know, there are these different dimensions of the Lord that we are going to learn, and we're going to taste a little bit of, and then we're going to find out what makes our heart beat, and we're going to run with Him in that area. So we're seeing that. And then a training center, which we're doing through Kingdom Training. We are a training center where as we get healed, as we get free, as we know who we are, we are hoping to, and we are seeing people released into their destinies. We talk a lot about destiny here because everybody has one.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I don't care how old you are, whether you guys are, whether we've got the ones in the nursery up to the ones that are a little bit older than me. You know, we've all got a destiny. We've got a part to play. And that leads me to the fourth word that Chris gave was that we are an army. We will be an army. And my goodness. Do you guys feel it rising up in you? We're part of something big. We're part of something huge. We are part of someone big. We are part of someone huge. Calling us to Himself. Calling all of His creation to Himself. And He wants everybody to be there. Every one of us to be there. So this has been rising up in me, this ferocity, if you will. Graham Cook has got a conference coming up in Vacaville. Shoot, I forgot to write down when. But this is a quote from the promo for it. It's called The Way of the Warrior, and it's at the Mission in Vacaville. I believe it's next month. There is a call to fight in each one of us. We live at the epicenter of a clash between two kingdoms. To fight is not an option. It's a necessity. At the very best, each of us is a foot soldier able to resist the enemy, stand against him on a personal level, and win through to a place of anointing and power. Warriors and champions are trained for the purpose of personal and corporate breakthrough. We are looking for the modern day equivalent of David's mighty men and women. And we need people who know how to be aligned with God in a strategic and powerful manner. Yeah! It's coming out, you guys. More of us are getting freer and freer. We are being trained for this moment. What do we hear now? We hear all of these words. What words are we using lately? Advancing the kingdom. You know, taking that. We're here talking about taking the seven mountains of influence that influence society. We're taking these mountains. This is not just sitting back going, doo-dee-doo, it's going to happen. It's like people are getting up and raising up and stepping into who that is. These seven mountains are the church, home and family, education, arts, entertainment, sports, commerce, science, technology. Commerce, science, and technology are one. Media, and then government and politics. We are taking these mountains. We're being called to. People are sounding the charge. And blazing fire will answer. Okay. I've got to put a disclaimer in. There are some things that I'm taking from, like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, Narnia, things like that. And it's like, oh my gosh, we are made for a time as this. More of you are stepping out in these areas. You're thinking bigger and wiser things than can have been imagined before. So let your heart beat with that and run with what the Lord gives you in that moment for whatever situation that you are in. And we're going to rock this world. We are. And it starts here. So many of you have gotten free. So many of you are stepping into where God is calling you to be. We just are. We're going there. We're rubbing shoulders. We're rubbing shoulders with each other. Because it's like I said earlier, when you're hanging out with people who are thinking these big thoughts, you start thinking them too. Then you start thinking that you can take the same thing. Right? Yeah. 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 I hang out with the elders and the core leaders, and it makes me think, yeah, I can get up here too. Yeah, I can. They just gotta laugh at me sometimes. So all that. Then we talk about this this revival generation. You know, we have so many visuals for who we are right now, and if we could make a composite, you know, this person would look like she would be a bride with a bride dress with camouflage and boots, and underneath she's wearing, you know, the belt of truth. She's got the, instead of the tiara, she's got a half tiara with a half of a helmet. You know, all of these things are, this is who we are. And another area that we're being called to, so people are sounding the charge, is this being this revival generation. A generation of people that are so alive to the things of God, that we have been revived in that way. This revival, this coming back to life or consciousness, bringing back up or coming back to life or consciousness, or coming back into use, attention, or being. We're being revived for such a time. I believe that we are this generation that is stepping into believing who God is. This generation that Ezekiel saw. We got that? No, not that one yet. The vast army one, please. I think that that we're this generation that God's been waiting for. That's going to believe him, that we're going to step into his promises, that we're going to believe who he is and who we are. And Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. A vast army. This is this generation. This vast army. I tell ya. When God wakes you up, he wakes you up. Oh, my goodness. We're just stepping into this, like I said. We're stepping into this. We're realizing more and more who we are. We're getting past the stuff and moving forward. I believe so. I know in my own life that I am. And I know that it starts even small. But you've got to be courageous. You've got to have the guts to want to go through some of the things that the Lord heals you from first. You know, it's all about getting healed up. Yeah, we're being trained, but at the same time, he's healed us up. But we have to have the courage, the boldness to want to go there with him when we talk about this passion and this love, this intensity. And for some of us, we're like, no way, I'm not going there. And yet, if you go there, if you just get that little baby step forward, it'll turn into a giant step forward, and you're like, yes, Lord, open my heart, deal with it, because I know I'm made for so much more. I am made for so much more. So, one of the examples of how the Lord dealt with me and was a situation in relationships. So I was in a situation where my buttons were already pushed. You know, I'm going into this one going, rats, I don't want to be here, and I'm already going, getting anxious about the whole thing. So I walked in, all agitated, very much my old self. I'm like going, I'm rehearsing and I'm going, whoa, okay, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and I'm just getting all worked up. But I had a moment before the meeting started, and I had a moment to myself, and I said, you know what, wait a minute. I am made differently. I think differently now. I am made for something bigger than this. I know that the Lord has healed me, and that I can move forward in a much different manner than I did, than I used to do. So I calmed down, and the meeting started off as rocky as I anticipated. But I'm sitting there, and I'm letting the peace of the Lord come and flow through me. And mind you, I am learning this. It is just happening. You know, it's and this was just a year ago, so this is not like I've done this for forever, you know, all my life. I'm learning this stuff here, and I'm hoping to apply it to everywhere I am. So I'm letting the peace of the Lord flow through me. I'm almost experiencing the meeting as if I'm watching myself, going, oh my gosh, I'm doing okay. I really have gotten to this, to the core of my being, that I have changed up here. My mind, I have changed, I have decided, and I have changed. I can react differently. I can respond differently in this situation. And so the meeting, so my remembering who I am allowed me to feel compassion for the other person. And it allowed me to see that whatever was happening wasn't about me, but it was all about what was happening for that other person. And as I left the meeting, a triumphant feeling came over me, if you will. I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, I did it. You know? I connected with the real me. You know? And for me, that was huge. In the situation I was in, that was huge. I knew I didn't want to be and react and respond the way that I normally did. I didn't want to be in that old place. I had been freed, and I knew a different way. And I chose to do it the Lord's way, and He blessed me. Oh, my gosh. When I left that meeting, I was like, whoa, what just happened? And I get on the phone with Brent. Oh my gosh, this happened. And you know what? You know what it felt like? It felt like, for me, I felt like Eowyn from Lord of the Rings. Specifically, Return of the King, the DVD, and the enemy is just taunting her. The enemy has her by the neck, and he's saying stuff like, "You can't kill me. No man can kill me," you know. And she's sitting there. And he gets painfully distracted at that moment. And he drops her. And she stands up to him. And she whips off her helmet. And she takes her sword. And she roars right into his face, "I am no man!" And she just... I was like, yes! Do you know what it feels like to go against that old nature and say, yes, I won! I won! I did it! I can claim that for me, and I can move forward. Okay. So for the guys, so for the ladies that you can relate, okay, for the guys so that you can relate, okay, we have Neo. Okay? They're in the train station and he's getting battered by the Matrix. This is from the Matrix. Okay. He's getting battered by Agent Smith, the enemy. Enemy's got him by the neck again. He's whispering. He's calling him Mr. Anderson. Do you hear that sound? It's the sound of inevitability. It's of your death. Die now, Mr. Anderson. And Neo rises up and he growls and he says, my name is Neo! And he rises up and he smashes the guy up against the roof. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, we're going to see more stories of this, where we rise up and we know who we are. We walk into the situation and we know what we can take down. So I'm just encouraging you guys that this is where we're going. You know, you've got a ways to go. We're all still in training. Might even feel like we're in boot camp, although I've never been. But you know what? He's preparing us for a time as this. He's going to come riding in, and we're going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're riding with you. We're riding with you. I wanted to end with something a little bit declarative, and it's going to be basically a cadence, a military cadence, and based on the Duckworth chant. Anybody know that? I was like, it even has a name? So it's that one where you go, da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Yeah, that one? Okay. That is called the Duckworth chant, okay? I found that out in my research, my heavy-duty research. Many cadences have a call-and-response structure, which one soldier initiates a line and the remaining soldiers complete it, thus instilling teamwork and camaraderie for completion. So we're going to do a little cadence. The help of my creative husband who helped write the lyrics, write the words. We're going to declare this together. And I say the line first, you say the line second. You know, so you repeat after me until we get to the end, to the third section. And I will say the first part, we are, and then you guys say the second part. We are warriors, extreme lovers, and then together we say the third line together. So basically, it sounds like this, if you'd say it with me, okay? You guys want to stand? If you wouldn't mind standing with me. Okay. Okay. All right. We're the army of the Lord. Trained to be victorious. Courageous with a champion's heart. Extreme with passion, living strong. We are extreme. Advancing the kingdom of God. Woo!
needs some. There we go. Here we go. We're the army of the Lord.
Trained to be victorious.
Courageous with a champion's heart.
Extreme with passion, living strong.
We are extreme. Advancing the kingdom of God.
Feel good? Yes, let your spirit soar. Let it be. Let God be Him through you. I tell you, it feels good. Feels good. For the ministry time tonight, I'd like I'm going to call up several people that have gone through. They've been courageous. They've gone through some adversity, and they bring with them that impartation of the tenacity of staying after the Lord and holding on to His promises. So I'd like to invite the following people up if they can, if they will, please. Kat Sinan. The Cross family, is anybody still here from Mark, Karen, anybody? Brianna, Daniel, Grace, anybody? Come on up, you can. Tim Kelly, is Tim here? Cool. Pierre and Tammy Van Horn. Van Horns? Yes, 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 yes. Mary Jo Carrion? Mary Jo Carrion? Russ and Susan Folkler? Sheila Purcell? Helen Watson? Paula Huey? Paula? Paula? And Lee Betancourt. Yes. Oh, yeah. I know that this is just a microcosm, a small group of people who have overcome some sort of adversity, but have stepped out courageously in the Lord. But I know that these will also bless you and receive from them what the Lord has poured into them and what He will pour through them. So bless you. I bless you with the heart of the lion to go forward in Him. Bless you.
Yay, Suzanne. So, wow. So you're preaching next week, right? Oh. So at this point, really, again, if you want specific prayer, if you're going through something, you just want the Lord's courage, that kind of thing, that's why we brought these people up, just to come and get blessed by them and however the Lord leads that. So you don't need to come up, but we just want to let you know you're already blessed. Everything that God was doing was real here tonight, but if you want something more, then come on up for prayer. All right. Bless you. Amen.